We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Five-hour KM to AM on The Fan in New York. We're going to do this tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and again Thursday night. Got my guy Double A behind the glass. And there's a ton to talk about. Let me turn the news off. We got CNN on in here. I'd rather not. We're going to watch the Home Run Derby tonight. I've been at the last three home run derby, so you got the right guy. You got the right guy to talk about what goes on there, what to expect. They changed the rules again, but they actually tweaked the rules for the better, I think. And man, Pete Alonso's going to do this one, and he's done after that. He's got to retire, win or lose. That's it. We've seen enough of Pete. And Aaron Judge is one and done. Aaron Judge did it as a rookie, won it. No need to do it again. The Yankees have three winners in Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Juan Soto. I saw Juan Soto win it. I was there to see Pete win it. I was there to see Yoenis Cespedes win it 10 years ago. Who else did I see win it? I saw Vladdy Jr. win it last year. So getting ready for that, I just put all my bets in. I'm not going to tell you who I bet on, but man, if you do bet, if you are a gambling man, there's some exactas. There's some easy money getters. If you have an inkling of who you think is going to do well, I mean, I'll tell you this from my experience. These little guys run out of gas. These little guys do not have the raw power. They do not have the strength and the energy to get through multiple rounds. These little guys, and I'm talking about Jose Ramirez, Bobby Witt Jr., even like a Gunnar Henderson, I don't think those guys have it. It's the guys with raw power that can just swing through it. It's the guys like Pete Alonso. He's the favorite. It's the guys like Adelis Garcia, who, how many times have we seen a guy win it in his building? We've seen that a couple times. Bryce Harper, Todd Frazier. And I would think that Adelis Garcia in his own ballpark has an edge. Marcell Ozuna, who, I don't know, I heard Evan talking about Marcell Ozuna. I do not expect ESPN to spend much time on who Marcell Ozuna is off the field. And I would bet that Major League Baseball advised them not to do so, but you should do so for your own interest if you want to know. Go look up some of his stuff. It's very available. If you're not a diehard baseball fan, maybe you don't know. 888-808-1019. For my diehard Yankee fans, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm excited for the All-Star Game. I call it the Baseball Festival. But I'm more excited to be here this week because the last 2 years that I was on WFAN, I took off for LA, for Seattle, and my spot was filled. I did that again this year, but last minute was like, wait, I'm not going this year. I want to rock those shows. I want to be on. That's a lot of airtime during the daylight. That's a lot of time to prove who I am, what I am, show who I am for people that go to sleep and don't usually hear me. So I'm not going to bury the lead for the Yankee fans, my fellow Yankee fans who are dear and close to my heart. I am one of you, and I understand most of you, not all of you. And Sunday, that was just, I don't know. What I'll say is, I don't want the feelings of yesterday to bleed into this show too much today. It's over. It's done. It's the second half. And we have a break here. And unfortunately, we need a break from the Yankees again. I remember last year sitting in my hotel room in Seattle watching the Yankees blow the series against the Cubs before the All-Star break. And I wanted to go see that gum wall. I wanted to see the Space Needle. And I said, nah, I'm not going to go do the tourist stuff. I want to watch the Yankees play. And if you remember, Gleyber Torres botched a tailor-made double play, and they took Domingo Herman out, and there was a rain delay. Long story short story long, they end up blowing that game to the Cubs to send you into All-Star break not feeling so good. And, man, the way that they lost that game yesterday, that Roku game, I blame Matt Vasgersian and Roku, an 11:35 start. all that nonsense we had to deal with. I literally set my alarm and got up like 5 minutes before the game. Matt Vasgersian. I don't know. I won't talk too much about that. What I'll say is it's about the conclusion of the game. For them to rally the way that they did, you knew what was on the line. I was on Saturday night from about 7:30 to 11 p.m. And I talked about how winning cures all, how they make you believe, how it is all right in front of them until it's not. How, look at us. They have the chance to sweep them, so I know it's real. Sweep them. Complete the sweep. Even with Carlos Rodon on the mound, couldn't overcome another Carlos Rodon, the curse of Carlos start. Couldn't overcome it. And I just say this about the Yankees. I was saying this the last couple weeks of this terrible stretch. I love the Yankees like you do, but they're fake elite. You know what I'm saying? Like, they play like poverty, but they want you to believe that they're rich and fancy and upper echelon. Right? It's fool's gold. When I'm watching the way that that game ended, I'm just sad because as much as they can give you the Friday night dramatics, which Clay Holmes, remember him throwing the ball and hitting Heston Kerstad in the head? Yeah, for those of you that want to absolve Clay Holmes, that's something we're not going to do tonight. You're not going to call WFAN from now till midnight and take Clay Holmes off the hook. He's at the All-Star game right now with guys looking at him like, you? Anyway, yeah, they give you that whole back and forth benches clearing brawl with Brandon Hyde in the middle of it. And a lot of Yankee fans said that woke them up. And I'm like, they were winning that game. Clay couldn't control the ball in the rain, whatever. What woke them up was going back to Camden Yards with their fans taking over the building, remembering who they were with Gerrit Cole on the mound. And then the next day, Luis Gil on the mound, your two best starters giving you great performances and changing the lineup enough so that guys could come alive. Aaron Judge was walked seven times, and he hit two homers. I don't know why they kept pitching to him. And Juan Soto showed up. Juan Soto breaking out of his slump. And Trent Grisham and Gleyber Torres. There were a lot of good things. But you know what? They just have a way to completely erase all the good. They are able to just that fast kill our belief in them. And as much as they're able to kill our belief in them, they still have the best betting odds to make it out of the American League, right? And I'm not here to tell you tonight that, oh, it's a long season. Oh, they could still make the World Series. They can make the World Series. They can make the World Series and lose. They can make the World Series and win. Whatever. Like, I'm not going to tell you about the bright side. For what? We're not going to absolve anyone. I can only go off of what I've seen. And what I see is they're fake elite. Elite teams make those plays. After rallying, right, after wasting the heroics of a young Ben Rice again, like they did Thursday in Tampa, they can't make the routine, simple plays. Now, it made me think back to Tampa and Hal Steinbrenner showing up there, as well as Brian Cashman meeting the media. And for all of you that love to say, oh, if George was alive, I hate it, but I understand it. Because they fear George Steinbrenner. If George Steinbrenner came through and was in the building for the Tampa series, maybe they would tighten up. Maybe they would be so tight that they would say, oh, trade deadline's coming up. I can't afford to botch a play. I can't afford to be swinging at first pitch strikes. I got to have good at bats. I got to have great defense or my ass is gone. He'll trade me. I could be out of here. I feel like these guys live so much off of the past. I feel like these guys live so much off of Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera and the 27-time World Series champions. They just go out there and take it for granted. You should feel like, as a Yankee, you could be here today, gone tomorrow. It's a privilege. Like, you should feel like, yo, I get to play for the greatest baseball franchise there ever was. Instead, guys are out there half asleep, asleep at the wheel, falling asleep on the base paths, falling asleep on defense. And that's why I also understand those of you that are mad at the manager, right? Because the coach from when you're in Little League is supposed to say, hey guys, come on, one out, one to get, two outs, one to get, tighten up. Everybody think about what you're doing, where you are, and the ball coming to you. I know if it was me playing out there, I would love to be the guy that the ball comes to in that moment to complete the sweep. To send the Yankees into first place, going into the All-Star break, and a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles, which never happens. And obviously, they were just swept before that series by the Cubs. It's not like you beat a juggernaut. Not like you beat a great team. They were reeling, and the Yankees gave them life. 888-808-1019. This is not going to be the temperature of this show. This is not going to be the whole show. I just haven't been on since Saturday night after the vibes were great going into that rubber match or going into that third game, not needing a rubber match, thinking, hey, sweep them and be in first place. And all of that negativity, all of the Sundays that you ruined last month and last year, all of that is forgotten. But that's another thing going back to last year, 82-80. Oh, our fans deserve better. This is not good enough. We're going to audit ourselves. We're going to have a third party come in to see what we... Oh, no, we don't need a third party. We're good. We're good. We're just going to check our egos at the door and have a meeting about this and move forward. Oh, see? Well, nothing changed. It's the same team. It's the same DNA. It's the same energy. That loss, that one loss was the worst loss the Yankees have had in a long time. And there are so many holes that I can't believe that this is a championship team. And I want to be wrong. I want to win the World Series more than anything in sports. I want to be at that parade more than anything I can physically imagine. I'm already married. I have a kid. I've done all those things. So for the people out there like, oh, imagining a parade is a life thing. Yeah, I want to imagine the Yankees parade, or I want to be at the Yankees parade. I'm tired of imagining it. Like, that's one thing in my life that I wish I could see, because I skipped the last one. When I see this team can't field routine ground balls with the game on the line, when I see a left fielder who has played in that ballpark as a Red Sox and a Yankee, this is not his first rodeo. It's not his first time out there. He misplayed a ball earlier in the series. Get it together. Get it together, Alex Verdugo, no good lately. I don't know what the hell happened to that guy. All the hoo-hoo-hoo, all the dog stuff. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Every dog has his day. And man, did he have a day. He said, this one's on me. Yeah, you know why it's on you? Not just for that last play. Brian Hoke put out a tweet saying, Aaron Judge reached base three times today. Hit by pitch, two walks. Each time, Alex Verdugo made an inning-ending out behind him. Like, what's going on, bro? Are you zapped? Like, he talk about needing a break. That guy needs a break. 888-808-1019. I'm not going to do this the whole show, but basically the long and short of my Yankee take and how I feel and what I'm saying, I know they have the all-star break here where, you know, you take the time away, they get back with family, some of them are at the game, whatever. Good. It could be just what the doctor ordered. And I know that they also have in 15 days the trade deadline. But for me to be a baseball fan and a Yankee fan and a radio host, a media member, an analyst, a fanalist, whatever you want to call it, like, I would have to be a fool to say, yeah, this is a team that I think can win the World Series. They can't do regular little things. And when you talk about Clay Holmes as a closer, that's not a closer in October that I expect to get the job done. I have shortness of breath and trouble breathing when that guy comes on the mound. They need to cut the whole light show and playing his song in Yankee Stadium when it's a night game for him to come out. Like, as soon as we started doing that, he completely unraveled. He's been terrible as of late. I see people absolving him for the game Sunday. Oh, how many outs does he have to get, Keith? Oh, it's not his fault. Blame the defense. Blame everyone. Because him walking guys, he walked two guys before we got to that whole situation. That puts pressure on the defense. That puts belief in the mind of the Orioles and the fans, and this is a guy you've seen blow it so many times recently, it was almost inevitable. It was almost like you knew it was going to come. How was it going to happen? And it was Anthony Volpe, who has been great, made great plays in that series, couldn't literally field a routine ground ball and flip it to second base before Adley Rutschman slides in. And then Alex Verdugo with, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I just don't know how that happens. Both of those plays were 99% chances of being made. Only the New York Yankees, the elite New York Yankees, find a way to botch those two plays. Verdugo takes a step in. I don't know how he was playing it with the great wall of Baltimore behind you. The guy falls flat on his face and laid there for a second. That's pitiful for a guy that in the beginning of the season was graded as the best defensive left fielder in the game. I don't know what happened to these guys. 888-808-1019. The trade deadline can't fix everything. The presence of a Brian Cashman and a Hal Steinbrenner does nothing. They lost that series in Tampa, and then they go on to win the series against a struggling L5, L6 almost Baltimore Orioles team that couldn't find it. Their manager grasping at straws to get them going. They choke on in that game that Ben Rice rallied. I could not believe it. And I literally was tweeting, this is a joke. Clay Holmes can't be my closer in October. And they got to figure something out. Volpe has regressed. Verdugo is in a bad one offensively. I saw Eric Boland put out a stat. I'm like, this guy is completely lost. In his last 25 games, Alex Verdugo is 16 for 100. What? This is a guy that Aaron Judge requested the Yankees go out and get. So, yes, there are problems with the New York Yankees. Acknowledge them. And if you want to be glass half full and say they've got a whole second half, they've got the trade deadline, that's good for you. I want to be, you know, optimistic as well, but I'm also not a fool. You can only go off of what you see. There's some terrible at-bats. There's some terrible defense. There's some non-hustling moments, and all of it compounded, it's not right in front of them. What's in front of them is more of the same. Fake elite, right? Acting like there's something they're not. When you do poverty baseball things like that, you do lower level baseball things like that, you can't do the fundamental, simple things to close the door and win. You were up 5-3, Clay Holmes, walking batters. I don't care who you are, coming out of the bullpen at any time, not just the closer. You're not supposed to come out of the bullpen and give up two walks in an inning. So they're all at fault. They're all at fault. 888-808-1019. That was embarrassing. And that's how the Yankees have made you feel. And I feel sorry for a lot of the Yankee fans that need the Yankees like they need air. I feel sorry for a lot of the Yankee fans that are looking at 15 years of a drought. It's probably going to continue. This is their DNA. This is who they are. They're in an identity crisis. And more, like, just look at what you've seen. Use your eyes over the last couple years. This is what they do. And we understand errors happen. We understand guys aren't robots. They aren't machines. They aren't perfect. But in that situation, with the game on the line, everybody's got to be looking around, locked in. Let's make a play. Let's get out of here and let's be done. And they couldn't. They couldn't. They gave them life, all of them. Clay Holmes, who doesn't know where the ball is going, so much so he threw a 98-mile-an-hour pitch into a guy's head. I know it was raining, but then even, you know, Volpe having the yips and Verdugo misplaying that ball. I'm like, this is who they are. Ball don't lie. So, yeah, maybe they win it all this year. Maybe their odds are the best out of the American League, but as of what I've seen in this first half, it is more of the same from other years where they failed. And I know they've got the great Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and all that. And for my money's worth, Ben Rice is Wally Pipp, Anthony Rizzo. But you still got Gleyber Torres on the team. I don't know, maybe Yorbit Vivas, his presence, who they gave us that. Oh, Yorbit Vivas is here. Oh, great. Then they don't want to play him. They just want him to be around just in case because J.D. Davis is sick. Maybe that got Gleyber Torres going a little bit. But all in all, I just expect more of the same. I expect October to come. And there to be big moments, and they can't make it out, and that's the difference in the game. I expect October to come, and them to continue rolling Clay Holmes out there, telling you he's one of the best relievers in the league, despite what you've seen with him blowing saves, and them expecting him to get the job done in the moment being way too big for him. We're talking about October baseball. Like, if the guy can't get it done in June, we're talking about the highest of stakes, the ALDS, the ALCS, the World Series. Come on, you can't sell me that. 888-808-1019. It's all good for the Mets, though. I mean, even though they faltered, even though they came up a little bit short, I get it. Think about where they were to where they are. Okay, they had a win streak going. It ends at 5. Okay, they don't complete the sweep of the terrible Colorado Rockies. That's baseball, though. Like, the Rockies have guys out there that wanted to get a win before the All-Star break, and they did. I mean, they don't complete the sweep, and they don't have an undefeated homestand, but they had good attendance. They had fans showing up, and they could have hit 50 wins, whatever, you know, could have been 5 games or whatever. They fell a little bit short of the ultimate, like, last goal. But all in all, when you look at the pace that they've played, the winning percentage, how many runs they're scored, and how much better their starting rotation has been, and how now even the bullpen has a circle of trust, that's something else that pisses me off with the Yankees. Like, the Yankees finally get a circle of trust with guys like Michael Tonkin, Luke Weaver, Kirk Cousins' cousin Jake. You like that? He has earned us to call him by his name. His name is Jake Cousins. Even guys like Tommy Canley in spots. Canley has been decent in spots. Like, they have developed a circle of trust, and Clay Holmes is on the outside of it. Anyway, back to the Mets. We'll talk Mets tonight. We'll talk about the first half, all of the great stories that have come out of Queens to dig them out of that hole. It took all of those great stories to pull them out of the hole that they dug for themselves. But they're in pretty good shape as we approach a trade deadline where I don't think there's any way they sell off. And as I'm looking at Pete Alonso on my screen, I hope Pete Alonso wins tonight for the three-peat so he can say he's done that. And he can use that in the offseason for leverage with whatever team he goes to. It won't matter because, like I said, win or lose, he's done. This should be his last one. Let somebody else come in. And I obviously know what the Mets have to add. They have to add bullpen pieces. But when you look up and down this lineup, and like I said, when you look at their rotation and Kodai Senga coming back and Christian Scott being here and what you're getting out of guys like David Peterson, what you're getting out of guys like Quintana, Minaya, and Severino lately, you got to be happy about that. This is a team that in this National League, why can't they be a wild card team that can advance and make some noise? We're about 20 minutes in. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Of course, we're going to talk NFL. RIP Jacoby Jones. Jordan Addison is a full-blown idiot. There's a top 10 quarterback list that I have to comb through and go through with everyone that can hear. And we are literally days away, like not even a couple days away. The Jets rookies and the Giants rookies are reporting to training camp this week. It's on. I told you guys it was a short amount of time until we start talking about football every day. It's already starting. Davante Adams to the Jets. That chatter is happening everywhere you look. Davante Adams to the Jets. I'll speak on it. I watched the first two episodes of Receiver on Netflix. It's pretty good so far. We'll talk trade deadline. We'll obviously watch the Home Run Derby. We'll talk All-Star Game. I'll share some of my experience and stories from going to four of these baseball festivals. I love it. I chose my family this summer, and I don't regret it. I don't have any FOMO. I'm glad that I'm here because that gives me the opportunity to do something I've never done. Rock 4 5-hour KM to AMs on the Fan in New York, and I didn't do that the last 2 years because I was at the All-Star Game.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan. I feel like there's a ton of things going on, but then nothing going on. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, another 5-hour KM to AM. I opened up talking about the Yankees, how they disappoint us all, how they just kill your belief in them, and how you just got to go against your own eyes. You got to go against what you know. You got to believe something that you don't see to believe that this is a World Series caliber team, to believe that this is a championship team. I mean, it's been 15 years. What makes you think that this year is any different than the years before? Juan Soto can slump, all right? There's so many things, like so many holes as we get to the calls at 888-808-1019. I'm really just going to use this first hour and really now half hour to complain about the Yankees before the great Home Run Derby comes on, the best skills competition in sports. I look at the Yankees and I'm like, you have so many issues. Like, who's your leadoff hitter? Can't be Volpe anymore. I told you guys it was a premature move. I told you guys as soon as they did it, I didn't like it. As soon as they did it again, because they did it last year. I'm like, this guy is not Gunnar Henderson yet. He's not Bobby Witt Jr. yet. He might have been drafted with those guys, but he needs time to develop. His minor league time was cut with the pandemic and the, like, just stop. Like, I get it, but I don't get it. 888-808-1019. Yeah, in 10 years, we're going to look up and Anthony Volpe will be the next lineup that comes out after that. He's the leadoff hitter. And he had to struggle through that. He had some good moments, but a lot of folks are looking at last year, the power numbers. He doesn't hit for power anymore. He doesn't walk anymore. Because you put the burden on a 23-year-old kid to be the shortstop of the New York Yankees and the leadoff hitter in his second year, not even his second full year, his second half. It's too much. So I said that's a fake elite move. You have veterans on the team that could do it. Verdugo would have been my first choice, but you went Gleyber Torres, then you went Volpe. And then once you went away from it's like Volpe, once Volpe struggled and was just going 0 for 0 for 0 for, had that terrible stretch, and they moved him lower in the lineup. Now you got to put Ben Rice, another kid there. I mean, Ben Rice had a little bit of a struggle, but he's got a clutch gene. Good to have him. He's very hitterish. He's not off balance. That guy hit at every level. He belongs. I'm already ready to say bye, Anthony Rizzo. No need. No need to see what Rizzo has when he comes back. For what? For what? Too many holes. Too many issues. That bottom half of the order. We killed Trent Grisham for how long? I was disgusted when I heard fans chanting, "We want Soto," that Sunday night baseball game that I didn't go to. I'm like, we root for the Yankees, bro. We don't ever root against. You don't say, "We want Soto," when a guy's in the batting box. He hits a home run. And yeah, I get it. You guys killed him again when he lazily didn't pick up that ground ball. Who cares now? He's been decent. He showed up this week. More so than Verdugo. Can he play left field? There's just too many issues. There's too many holes. So yeah, Stanton will come back, and then he'll DH. You could put Judge back in the field. But I'm worried about Gleyber Torres. Yeah, he's showing right now that he can do it. But it took him being benched. It took Yorbit Vivas being called up. It took months to get going, to get right, to look like Gleyber Torres. What happens when he reverts back to what we've seen? What happens to Gleyber Torres in a big game when he botches a double play, when he forgets how many outs there? You know what I'm saying? These things will come back. Now behind the plate, Austin Wells, good to see you. You're a rookie. I knew it would take some time. Good to see you. But now Trevino was hurt. And the issue before Trevino was hurt, these guys were getting run on. The book was out on the Yankees. You can run on these guys. And they don't run. They do not steal bases. They're not built to steal bases in modern-day baseball when everyone's running wild. These are problems. These are issues that will come up again in October. And I'm not a fool. I'm not going to get to October and act surprised. I'm going to go off of what I've seen. Let's go to Gardnerville, New York, and talk to Keith on the Fan just because I like the name.
Yeah, Keith. Good to talk with you, and sorry, I have to agree with you with a lot of what you said about the Yankees. You know, the team's early 90s, just comparing, you know, they just, when you go player for player and think about if each player is better or worse in the big moments, there's just not enough guys where the answer is yes now. You know, in the past there was, you know, up and down the lineup, guys that just got better in the big moments. So I think, you know, you have to go through the lineup and see, you know, which guys are those guys, and otherwise, and figure out, you know, what moves we can make.
It's too many. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, the trade deadline is here, but how many holes do you think you can fill when you're trying to save your young talent for the future, as well as, like, no, it's just, I don't know, the math is not mathing. I don't see them. Thanks for the call, Keith. I don't see them being able to fix all of the holes. And when you can't plug all of the holes, it'll be that one hole, whether it's Clay Holmes blowing it and you relying on him to be your closer, whether there's not enough arms coming out of the bullpen, and who knows, Michael Tonkin or Luke Weaver or Jake Cousins, one of those guys could be hurt next and not be available to you. But yeah, they'll tell us, oh, we got Scott Efros coming back. We got JT Brubaker. That's like adding an arm at the deadline. Is it? Avery's in Manhattan. Avery, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I was in Baltimore on Sunday. I was at the game.
I'm sorry. That was the worst one to go to. That was a nightmare in real time. We were this close to first place. After that rally, everybody was juiced, pumped, excited, made our belief rise through the ceiling, and then we just crashed all the way through the floor.
Keith, I think that this ending, honestly, in my opinion, it was not Clay Holmes' fault. And I know you're saying blame everybody. From when I was sitting there watching him, I knew he didn't have his best stuff. That much was obvious.
So stop there. Our closer doesn't have his best stuff more times than not. Our closer cannot control where the ball is going more times than not. Our closer walks guys, and when he doesn't walk guys, he'll leave a pitch that can get hit out of the ballpark, that can get hit through. Like, we can't absolve this guy. And I get it. You saw Craig Kimbrel go in there and give it up. I get it. There are other closers in baseball, relievers in baseball that aren't great. But this is the New York Yankees. If this was Aroldis Chapman, people would be trying to send him to the sun.
But Keith, it's that sinker. He was able to still elevate the sinker, generate two ground outs and one fly out. The first ground out should have been turned for a double play. The second one should have gotten the out at second. The third one should have been an easy catch on the fly. He fixed it.
But
he
do you understand it. That the doubt that creeps in our minds, the players have the same mind. They're on the team. They're on the field. The trouble that's on the base paths, you giving guys base on balls, like that starts to creep into their mind too. Oh no, what do I do? This, what's happening? What's going on? Wait, this is happening in real time. They're coming back. They walked us off.
I guess. I hear that too. That's a good point too.
Because of, just go back and look at his track record. Like, we're trying to absolve the guy. Like, you guys didn't watch the game Friday with Masataka Yoshida putting one into the bleachers.
Well, then they need to stop. Then his teammates need to stop telling him that he's the best closer in baseball.
Right.
And that needs to end
it's
now.
It's fake.
And there's numbers that say
Clay Holmes is, like, no, go off of what you're seeing lately, recently.
We're
making too many excuses. There's too many Yankee fans making excuses. And you know what?
Everybody else
is laughing at us, laughing at the Yankees, drinking our tears, and fans are saying, oh, it's not Clay's fault. It's Volpe. Listen, that's one play that Volpe is supposed to make and didn't make. That's one play that Verdugo is supposed to make that he didn't make. But how did we get there? How do we get all of those runners on and get that much trouble? For the Yankee fans that are screaming for a swing and miss pitcher to be the closer, I hear you. My first reaction was, damn, I guess all these callers are right. You hear Mason Miller's name on this radio station every hour. I guess we got to give up Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones to go get him.
Yeah. I want to make another point, though, and on this one, I'm not making any excuses. It was clear from the beginning of the season, except, of course, we thought Verdugo was going to continue to be able to hit, that this team has no depth. And you know you cannot win a championship without depth. It doesn't matter. We could say it a million times, right? It doesn't matter if you have the two best hitters in all of baseball.
You got Yorbit Vivas on the bench, and I was waiting to see the kid, honestly.
No leadoff hitter, no cleanup hitter. And this is the thing that really bugs me. What I'm about to say right now. The trade deadline is coming in 15 days. And let me ask you, Keith, because I'm not confident that Cashman's going to get anybody. I don't think he's going to be able to get anybody.
It's harder for him. David Stearns will have a better time going to get bullpen help this deadline than Brian Cashman will.
I don't understand that.
What are you talking about?
Absurd?
You're a Yankee fan. They hate the Yankees. And a lot of them are tired of Brian Cashman, the Yankees' eternal GM. They're tired of dealing with him. And you know what? Everybody knows the Yankees' top prospects. They're going to start with the guys that you can't give up because they're already bolted into your future.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that we're in this hole. Because when you really think about it, you're going down into this black hole where you can never see the light at the end of the tunnel.
It is. It is ridiculous because people tell you, oh, well, the Yankees are only a game out of first place. The Yankees have X amount of wins. We can see the forest through the trees, though. None of that matters. We're trying to get back to the World Series and win it.
I just can't. The more I think about it, the more annoyed I get, you know? Like you right now.
Because you know what? You're under 25, and I really feel bad for you young guys because I'm getting older, and I'm understanding I had it. I saw it. I lived it. I experienced it in real time. That's never coming back. They can't rebuild another dynasty. It's never coming back. And they're not a team like the Orioles that can suck for a few years, draft all this top talent, and then win 100 games. They always have to retool. They always have to reload. They don't have time to go through a rebuild as the New York Yankees.
No, they can't.
So they'll be fake
possible.
Elite.
That's
they'll be
allowed.
Fake tough, it's, fake yeah. elite. Pretend to be this juggernaut in the beginning of the season, come down to earth, get humbled, have everybody from the Cincinnati Reds to the Baltimore Orioles come into their building, smack them, clown them.
Beat them, sweep them.
And here we are. 58 wins, a game out of first place at the halfway point of the season. Thanks for the call, Avery. You young Yankee fans, I'm with y'all because I spend too much time on the internet. That's how I even got to WFAN, being an internet head, gaining followers, putting out content. I talk to you young boys, and I feel bad. I'm young at heart. I feel bad. You guys' greatest postseason moment is Didi Gregorius hitting a grand slam. It's not good enough is what I'm telling you. There was a standard of excellence that used to exist, and there are older Yankee fans that understand what I'm talking about, and especially the traditionalists are looking at this Yankees team like, no, this is not it. Juan Soto is great. Aaron Judge, sensational. Garrett Cole at times, Luis Gil. But as a team, as a collective, from manager, GM, owner right now, like we're, as Yankee fans looking at this team, like, no, we don't believe. You kill our belief. We were right there. We were right there. There are high school kids that are catching that ball in left field. There are high school kids that are just fielding that ground ball and flipping it to second. Adley Rutschman today was sitting on the Fox. I was watching the, you know, before the All-Star game with Fox, with Jeter and A-Rod and Big Poppy and WFAN alum Kevin Burkhead. And he was flexing about how fast he ran the second. Like, you see that speed right there? You see how I'm like, it grinded my gears, man. It pissed me off. And you know what they say? This is a football analogy. They say good teams score before the half. If they were a good team, they would have completed the sweep, they would have closed that door, and they would have been dead-ass serious about finishing the job and ending the first half of this season in first place. 888-808-1019. Football is here. Like, I'm telling you, there are people that are casual Yankee fans that are going to start tuning out. I'm hearing the conversation about how, oh, the Mets don't have as many casual fans. They do, but, like, they don't come out until they see there's a grimace, they see there's a song, they see there's a pop star, they see there's a hot dog Glizzy Izzy. But for the Yankee fans, it's always there. I go to Yankee Stadium a lot. It's always somebody's first time and last time at the stadium. They will always do numbers. There are always tours. There are always foreigners, out-of-the-country people in Yankee Stadium. There are always group deals. It's always somebody's birthday. Somebody's always proposing there. I know. I go to 40 games a year. This year, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to hit my 40 because they're going to piss me off. The second half is going to come. They're going to have some different additions. They're going to have some different faces, and they're still going to find ways to blow games like that. They're still going to find ways to lose like that. And that is not championship caliber DNA. That's not it. It's not it. I don't have to tell you. You know. So we're talking football now, right? Good teams score before the half. In the NFL, even if you can drive down and get that three and go into halftime, it gives you this feeling of, okay, even if that's the only point you have on the board. Good teams score before the half. The Yankees fumbled the ball going into the end zone, and the other team returned it 100 yards for the. I can't even talk about it. Gary is in Waterbury. Gary, you're on the Fan. Gary! Whoa. See, Gary, I thought was going to come in with some football to talk to give me a break, because you know what? We're supposed to have a break. This is the All-Star break. We're supposed to just be like, hey, let's watch the Home Run Derby coming up in 15 minutes. Throw $5, $10 on Adolis Garcia to defeat Teoscar Hernandez in the final. Like, let's root for Pete Alonso representing New York, the face of the Mets. Let's root for Pete to get it done. Let's go to Eli in Waterbury, Connecticut on the Fan. What's up, Eli?
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to ask you a question, and quick question. Do you think if Pete Alonso wins the Home Run Derby, it will help the Mets in trade negotiations? And also, if he wins, will it hurt the Mets in contract negotiations?
Thanks for the call, Eli from Waterbury. Gary in Waterbury wasn't ready. Maybe he will be in the next 10 seconds after I say this. This has nothing to do with anything. It's an exhibition. It's a skills challenge. It's cool for Pete to win it. It has nothing to do with anything. This will not affect any trade talks. This will not affect offseason negotiations. This is for Pete and for Pete only, in my opinion. Yes, he donates to charity. I heard Loogie talking about, you know, he's the face of the Mets. And I've told you that I've been to these All-Star games where he's the really only Met that's physically out there campaigning for the Mets. But it's a home run derby, dude. Like, they're trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's it. It's not like the game at all. Let's talk about the other game. I can't wait to talk football. Like I said, I gave you the dates. Like, training camp is starting, and we're definitely going to talk about the Jets. There's just a ton of hype around the Jets, and I caution the Jet fan, especially because of all the hype last year. Let's see if Gary in Waterbury, Connecticut is ready now. Gary, you there? Oh, actually, no. I think he hung up. I don't know. Gary wanted to talk Devontae Adams and the Jets. So now I'll talk Devontae Adams and the Jets. Devontae Adams went to the same school as Aaron Judge. Trivia, Fresno State. And in the receiver documentary that's going on Netflix right now, which is great. They got it from quarterback. And they second year, you know, we're thinking they're going to do quarterbacks again. No, they do receivers. He's one of the featured receivers. They show him and his wife, Devin, which I immediately was like, oh, their names are one letter apart. Devin and Devontae. Devin spelled D-E-V-A-N-N-E, Devante spelled D-E-V-A-N-T-E. They met in math class at Fresno State. Good for him. And that's his wife, and they have kids. And they open up his part of the show with a birthday party for his four-year-old daughter. And I laugh because they're talking about how all the parents and teachers and people don't know who he is. I'm like, that's cap. There's just a 0% chance that all these people don't know they're coming to Devante Adams' house. There's just a 0% chance that they live in Vegas and this little girl goes to school, a preschool, her last name being Adams, and they're pulling up to this mansion and they don't know what he does and they don't know who he is. They have fantasy teams. They gamble. This is Vegas. Like, there's just whatever, but, you know, it's TV production. But they go on to talk about how comfortable they are there, how great it is. And he talks about, you know, his daughter going to school there. And I can relate to that. I can't imagine what it's like to send my son off to school when he's of age. But I would imagine that now that he's been out there for two seasons, going on three, he's settled. He's locked in. His wife, his two daughters, they probably enjoy life out there in Vegas. I just have a hard time thinking that he's lobbying for a trade to come live in New Jersey and uproot his family. 808. Or 888-808-1019. I just think it's more hype and it's just more social media fodder. Like Aaron Rodgers is on a golf course and they ask him about Devante Adams. He says, I can't wait to play with Devante again. Anything that this guy said, this guy didn't even play. You can't wait to play with Devante again if you play. You lasted four plays last year, bro. You sent us all on a wild goose egg hunt for when you were going to return and you never returned. So for Devante Adams to want out of Vegas, where he grew up a Raiders fan, an Oakland Raiders fan, I just don't think that he's really pressing that button. And they show the dynamics of him and Max Crosby on the team, so much so that those two refer to each other as twin. They wear the same outfits. I thought that was kind of weird. I told my wife, I'm like, there's not a human being I would refer to as my twin. I don't care how much we had alike and in common. What are you talking about, bro? So Devante Adams, who grew up wanting to one day play for the Raiders and left Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, basically like, yo, I'm going to go prove who I am elsewhere. They're going to pay me the money. And, you know, he hasn't had a good quarterback. He's over there with Jimmy Garoppolo. And there's a part in this documentary where he throws him under the bus. I'm sure I haven't gotten to it yet. Aiden O'Connell, a rookie out of Purdue. And now they have Gardner Minshew over there. I'm sure he wants a better quarterback. And from what I could tell, he wants to win. And he also has a relationship with Josh Jacobs that you see early on in Netflix because he gets hurt. He leaves the game. They give him a shot to come back into the game. And Josh Jacobs is like, you're playing? You're coming back in? Even though they're about to lose? He's like, you're real for that. Josh Jacobs, when we come back, I'll play the audio. Josh Jacobs left to go join Devante Adams' old team. He left the Raiders and took the money from the Green Bay Packers. So maybe there's something to him wanting out, right? Because he also went to Vegas to play with Derek Carr, who went to what school, ladies and gentlemen? Same school as Aaron Judge and Devante Adams. Fresno State Bulldogs. Paul George went there as well. He went over there to play with Derek Carr, and they got Derek Carr up out of there expeditiously before they got Josh McDaniels up out of there. Antonio Pierce, former Giants legend, and we'll talk about the Giants and them sending their fans replica Super Bowl rings and Hard Knocks, episode 3 coming up tomorrow of the off-season Hard Knocks. We'll definitely talk about that as well. But I don't know. I just think it's more nonsense. There's a lot of things, though. Like Breece Hall was talking to Kay Adams, and Breece Hall was talking about, Devontae will get his touches, but, you know, I'll still definitely get mine. Garrett Wilson wears number 17. Oh, no, now he switched his number back to number 5 that he wore in Ohio State, opening up that number 17 for Garrett Wilson, or for Devontae Adams, right? Now you got to throw out your 17 jerseys that say Wilson. And these Jets season ticket holders, they got a beef. they definitely got something to say about the envelope that they were sent. I hope that's just the first one. And I think with the noise around the Jets, I think there will be a second one. The Jets had a good offseason going, right? Super Bowl comes, they announce their new jerseys. Mike Williams signs. Matt from Twitter, Matt NYJ, sends a pork roll, egg, and cheese. Yes, pork roll, egg, and cheese. I'm from Monmouth County. Sends a pork roll, egg, and cheese to Florham Park. That goes viral. They make all these moves. They get Tyron Smith. They get Morgan Moses. They draft Malachi Corley. They draft Olu Fashanu. They had a good offseason. I think that they are really loaded. I think that they are stacked. Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, don't got to worry about those guys. Sauce Gardner. But Aaron Rodgers can't be trusted. Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt to do whatever he did in Egypt. You can probably figure out what's to do if you're Aaron Rodgers in Egypt. But all the talk about Davante Adams being traded to the Jets, I understand Boomer Esiason came out this morning and added some fire to that, talking about, yeah, August or September. But I just don't understand why the Raiders, who are trying to win, would give up one of the best receivers in the league that you can watch on Netflix right now. And I don't understand why he would be pushing for that either, to come to New Jersey and play with a guy that played four plays last year, coming back from an Achilles injury. We don't know how long he's going to last this year. I don't think he wants to move his family across the country to live in East Rutherford and be catching passes from Tyrod Taylor. 888-808-1019. That's 1 hour down. So I said we're not going to spend this whole time complaining about the Yankees. But as a Yankee fan, I am telling you, I want to be dead wrong about this team. I want the second half to start and they just figure it out. I don't know what has to happen. I don't know what has to happen. But I hope they lock in and understand that they will not all be Yankees next year, that this is a one-year thing, that they're supposed to be, quote-unquote, hell-bent on being a champion. And every pitch, every out, they act like it. And I hope Brian Cashman doesn't get an ounce of sleep between now and the trade deadline, because he needs to have his magnum opus. This needs to be a trade deadline haul where you don't give up Spencer Jones, you don't give up Jason Dominguez, you don't give up Chase Hampton and Yorbit Vivas and all these other top names, Augustin Ramirez. You guys know the names. Don't give up those guys for this team this year. That shows you they can't make routine plays to get outs. That was a postseason type game right there. Clay Holmes came in shaky. I don't believe that he's the guy in October. And there's a bunch of other guys that have regressed and that have failed during this slump, like Anthony Volpe, like Verdugo, that have to get it together fast.